Flip Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
All righty then, let's give her, what do you say, crack a cold one. It's 2 hours of nonstop race talk tonight on Racetime Radio. And you're along with us for the ride. Welcome, everyone. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And, man, have we got a lot to talk about tonight there, Junior.
Yes, we do. We've got a great show lineup tonight.
Yeah.
We've got, we're going to hear a little bit of everything. We got some midget action. We got some super late model stuff to talk about. We got some ARCA stuff to talk about. And then, of course, get caught up on the weekend. But, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We sure do. A couple different truck winners. You're going to hear from both truck winners tonight on the program. Let me see here. Kansas was the place to be this weekend if you had if you're able to get in. I don't know whether they had any fans there over the course of the weekend or not, but I'll tell you, the action was hot and heavy from Thursday night all the way through, right up until last night. It was quite a weekend for everybody in NASCAR.
It was, for sure. And, you know, still kind of reeling out and digging through the schedule malfunction at the beginning. They're stacking up races, you know, doubleheaders.
Yeah.
Just still trying to dig out of that hole that, you know, was created definitely for the TV time. And, you know, through the beginning portion of the lockdown, you know, we lost, what was it, eight races.
Seven or eight. Yep.
Cup races, and then as well in there, we lost four or five truck and Xfinity as well through the beginning there. You know, still doing a few doubleheaders here and there, trying to dig out. And man, they're doing a great job, aren't they?
Yeah, they sure are.
On the feeder division side, you know, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
You know, for an Xfinity team, for truck team, to go to a track and race a doubleheader, there's a lot to it. It's not like a Cup team that has 30 cars in the inventory.
Right.
You know, these guys are having to race the same car back to back, and you know, the second day, it seems to be a better race to me. From the outside looking in.
Sure, with no practice, no qualifying, they're getting no laps. Mm-hmm. They got to basically unload and go. The second race should be a better race, just for the sheer fact they've got track time and a little bit of notations.
Exactly. And you know, looking at you know, the schedule all the way through now, NASCAR has came out and said, there's not going to be any practice sessions.
No.
There's not going to be anything for practice for the remainder of the year. So it's definitely interesting to see how everything has been playing out. And the teams are definitely doing a great job in proving the fact that they don't need to go through and burn two or three or four or five sets of tires just to learn, you know, what their car is going to do for the weekend. They're able to unload and go, and you know, it's not something new. We see that on the dirt side.
Yeah, you know, dirt guys get what, five laps if they're lucky.
Yeah, and it's warm ups. It's not practice. Yeah. It's warm ups. It's making sure stuff doesn't fall apart, and making sure that the cars don't, you know, break down.
Yeah.
You know, with something silly. But really, they're not out there testing anything. They're not changing things. They're making sure that their car is going to, you know, be ready to go for racing.
Yeah, and stay together.
And in asphalt racing, for way too long, practice has been just a part of the game. And You know, you even look at some of the large super late model shows. I'm going to, you know, throw the Derby out there, the Snowball Derby. I'm going to throw, you know, any big 5,000 and above to win races. And they have a full day of practice ahead of the event.
Yeah, and at least.
And when you look at the cost associated to that, it's staggering. And what NASCAR has been able to do through this pandemic is prove that, you know, practice isn't needed to put on a good race.
No.
And really it's just an added cost. Now, to get better, you obviously seat time and turning laps on a specific track makes you better.
Yeah. Disadvantage really to the young guys or the new guys coming into whatever series isn't getting practice. Disadvantage those guys. Advantage to the ones that have the engineers and, you know, have got previous experience either A, on that track, or B, in that series of car.
But no matter what, they're always at a disadvantage. Being a young guy, being a newcomer to a track, you're always at a disadvantage.
Sure.
It doesn't matter if you have 20 hours of practice time, if you have 5 hours of practice time, you are still at a disadvantage to a guy that has turned, you know, 1,000 laps at that racetrack. And if you have, you know, 3 hours of practice time, the guy that has, you know, 1,000 laps and you've got zero, it just means that he's going to end up with more laps than you again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's, but you're learning the basics when you get out there and practice.
I mean, if you're at the cup level, the truck level, the super late model level, you know the basics of racing. Like, that's the...
Not the basics of racing. I didn't say that. The basics of the vehicle that you're getting into that you've never been in.
No, exactly.
You need test time.
But in saying that, the race is the test time.
I guess if you want the race to be a test,
yeah. Well, to be honest, like it doesn't matter if there's a practice day or not, or if there's practice time or not. Really, anybody now in the mini stock division, in the super stock division, in the feeder divisions of everything, practice is necessary, and you know it is for that learning portion, but. I would put everybody in the super late model category and up from there, whether it be ARCA, whether it be truck, whether it be cup. The race is enough practice. Like, I mean, yeah. It's able
to dial. Well, there are long races, there's no doubt.
Exactly. And, yeah. And you know, if it's a 100-lap race, really, if you are worth your salt in the sport, the first 70 laps of that race is just a big practice session anyways. You know, like yeah. If it's
that's the way it's treated a lot of times.
Exactly. Yep. So really, you're just dialing your car in for the end. And really, once you get to a racetrack, if you are a super late model competitor, if you're a truck, you know, or an Xfinity, the amount of fundamental changes that you make during a practice session is slim to nil. It's just wear and tear on your equipment. Really, you know, like there's been plenty of times where I've seen a guy go out there and make his car 2 or 3 tenths quicker, right?
Right.
By fine tuning and dialing in.
Same guy I've seen go out there and dial himself right out of the ballpark.
100%.
Yeah.
And so it's.
And if he wasn't allowed the time, he wouldn't have done that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And really, on the fundamental changes side, that is the stuff that you do at the shop anyways.
Yeah. You know, you're turning screws at the track. You're not changing springs on a practice session.
Well, you can change springs, but you're not going to go and change necessarily an upper control arm. You might change a sway bar, but you're not going to change any roll center or,
right.
You know, any fundamental big changes to the car.
You will on a test and tune, but
you
not
will on
a practice.
Test and tune. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. Really, a majority of the time, you just get a baseline from a test and tune. You take it back to the shop and make the actual big changes. You know, to whatever it is that you're doing. So whether it be, you know, it's so interesting to me that dirt has got this for so long, that
yeah.
That dirt has understood this, you know, the fundamental basics of how much practice costs.
Well, they're doing it to preserve the track for
exactly.
Their race.
And really, every lap
that
you
money.
Turn on a dirt track, well, they are doing it. They are doing it to a certain degree to save money.
They're doing it to save the track.
Yeah, and a majority of the guys aren't going to, even if they said, at Oschwegen Speedway, if they said, okay, today we're going to do it different. We're going to have 4 hours of practice time, and then we're going to go into the race. The big guys wouldn't even go out for practice because they'd realize that every five laps that are turned on a racetrack, it's different on a dirt track because it changes the moisture and it changes the, you know, how it slicks off and where the cushion is. It's changing all the time. So on asphalt, that doesn't happen, where everybody is going to, you know, basically line up for practice as soon as it's available, and they're going to leave the racetrack as soon as it's not. But I don't agree with the model of having a full day test session. I like a track to have, you know, 2 or 3 15-minute sessions, and that's it.
Yeah.
And a couple series that are doing that the right way, the APC series obviously does a great job with it. Pro Stock, really, they have an hour-long practice session, and then sometimes they have another, you know, block in there. But it won't be like 2 hours any stretch.
No.
But you look at some of these super late model, like the Cars Tour, you look at the CRA Tour, you look at, you know, those types of divisions, and they've got a full day of testing ahead of the race.
Ahead of the race.
And my Lord, that's too much. But I really like the direction that NASCAR has taken with this, and I don't think that if there was more practice, that the racing would be any better.
Well, let me tell you who we've got on the show tonight. It's pretty exciting stuff. And just before I get to the lineup, I do want to say our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers go out to the White family in Ganawagi, Quebec. We lost one of our close friends and a dynamite racer in Brandon White. He lost his battle with cancer. He's gone to heaven. And we're going to be thinking of Brandon. I can guarantee you a lot. We'll never forget him. He was a dynamite guy. I got to know him really well in 2010 when Sue and I followed the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series back then and got to know Brandon and his brother Derek. He's going to be missed, I can guarantee you. He got diagnosed with cancer around the same time I did. And it's just a shame, and we got to put our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts, absolutely everything out to Derek and the whole White family. We're thinking of you guys. A DGM, Mario Gosselin's team, the Xfinity team in the U.S., they also lost one of their crew guys. He was a spotter for DGM. And Brad Campbell was involved in a car accident on his way to Texas and succumbed to his injuries. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody at DGM. And we're thinking of all these guys. And it's been a tragic week. Maurice Petty also passed away. There's been a lot in our industry that have gone, and it affects everybody. And we just want to let you know let everybody know that our thoughts are with everybody there. Tonight on our show, how about this first-time winner in the ARCA Menard Series? He was with us just a couple of weeks ago where he had a career-best finish of a second place. Brett Holmes, driver of the number 23 for Holmes Excavation. Brett Holmes won at Kansas on Friday night. It was exciting. I got a chance to watch it on FS1, and I'll tell you what, it was a great race. And I can't tell you how excited we are to get Brett on the hotline. We're going to do that in just a couple of moments here. We'll get Brett Holmes on the line. Also, action at Flamborough Speedway just last night. The Can-Am Midgets got a chance finally to hit the racetrack for the first time in 2020. And it was Darren Dryden going to victory lane. We put a picture of Darren up on our release. It's a picture of his dirt car because we didn't have a picture of his midget. We checked the midget site. There was no photo of it. So we grabbed the profile shot, and it is of his dirt car. So we're going to be able to ask Darren a bunch of questions tonight. We'll find out. Obviously, the race went real good for him. He ended up going to victory lane at Flamborough. We will check in with Darren Dryden tonight. Then we will be hearing from Caden Lapcevich. Caden was at South Bend, Indiana. He took Junior the hardest hit so far in his career, and he's lucky to have walked away. He got his bell rung. He is okay. I was back and forth with him today after seeing the news early this morning. And tell you what, Caden's got to buy a new helmet before he goes back to the racetrack. The one that he had on last night is wrapped up. So yeah. We're going to hear from Caden tonight. He's been doing a lot of racing down south. We'll get a recap of everything, but definitely got to talk to him about this wreck that he was in last night.
Yeah, definitely. He's down there working with Blount, Billy Blount in the 16 car. I think that everybody, you know, in the Ontario or really in the Northern United States knows that name. It's the iconic blue number 16 Outlaw Super Late model. They also have a Pro Late model deal put together. Caden has been, you know, really doing some amazing things with that 16 car. You know, when you take a look at his career, he spent a lot of time in victory lane and not a whole lot of time in the fence.
Right.
You know, it's definitely an unfortunate situation to see them lose a race car. It sounds by all accounts that race car is definitely hurt. There was a lot of damage to it. And one thing too, when we're talking to Darren Dryden, coming up, that guy is one of the most artistic people in the sport right now. And I can't wait to talk to him about some of the graphic projects that he's got coming down the pipeline.
Good deal. We will get to all that and more tonight. Both truck winners. We'll also hear from them. We've got a clip with Denny Hamlin. And it was Brandon Jones going to victory lane in the Xfinity race. We've got a little piece with him as well. So we got lots coming at you. Don't go anywhere. Things are just getting fired up. First-time winner, Brett Holmes, on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hey, fans, this is Allison McLeod, winningest female driver in USAC history, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could carve out some time to join us. We're going to get right to the hotline, and we're going to bring in, how about the winner of the Arca Menard Series, Don 150 on Friday night. Awesome race. Let's welcome in a first-time winner, too, I got to add, with the Arca Menard Series. Let's welcome in Brett Holmes, driver the number 23. What's going on tonight there, Brett?
Hey, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. You did an awesome job on Friday night. That must have felt just tremendous.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a big relief for sure, you know, to finally get the first one off our chest. And, you know, that's something that's been hanging over our head for a long time to finally get that. But I knew we could do it. It was just more of a matter of when it was going to come. And I'm glad we did it the way we did.
But you didn't win by a little bit here. You didn't win by a bumper or a whisker. I'll tell you what, those last 20 laps, you found another gear in that race car And you flicked it to fly, because that 23 was dead nuts flying on that speedway. There was nobody going to catch you unless a caution come out. That was the only way they were going to catch you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like our long run speed was kind of unmatched compared to those other guys. You know, we brought a similar setup to what we ran at Kansas last year, and then kind of mixed it with what we were doing at Kentucky, and it really worked out, man. You know, we were competing against some of the same guys we raced against last year, and really put it on them. You know, the guy, my spotter Derek and crew chief, they were telling me to slow down there because we had such a big gap. But honestly, I just wanted to keep going and kind of make a big statement there to show, you know, what we're capable of and what we can do. And you know, just running up against those guys, it was just really cool to do it like that.
I've been in that situation as a spotter before, where the spotter is telling the driver, slow down, like, just back it down here, save me something for the end. And you guys never listen to that. Drivers never, ever, ever listen to that. And it is very frustrating up on the stand, just so you know. So you should apologize to Derek, number one. I'm just kidding. No, it's so much fun to see your driver check out like that. Like, you at the end of that race, your car was just lights out. Through the beginning portion of that race, it seemed like the entire race just played into your hand, but you had to earn it as well. Every one of those restarts were definitely sketchy, and you had a tremendous amount of patience through the middle portion of that race. Take us back to I guess it was lap 20, 25 in there when you got mired, not back in traffic, but you did lose a little bit of track position, and then you ended up working your way back forward. Take us back to how the car was in dirty air versus clean air.
Yeah, I mean, we got to second there pretty early on in the race. I think by lap one we started fourth and got second there and got behind the 18, and just, you know, you could definitely feel a big difference there as far as air goes behind another car. So it was tough to kind of break that barrier of a half a second or so. You know, when I got behind him, I knew we were faster. I could see that he was struggling a little bit being loose, and we fired off pretty good. So then there was another caution out. They came out shortly after, and we restarted second and on the inside. And I think he chose the outside, and we just held strong with them. We were door to door for a lap and a half there, and finally just got clear of them in one and two the next lap. And you know, just kind of, that was kind of all she wrote from there. You know, we clicked on all cylinders. Our car handled really good through the whole race. I think just more consistent, better, and closer than everybody else's was, and we were able to hold them off for the rest of the race and lead the rest of the race. It was really cool. You know, I've never got to lead that many laps before. I definitely feel like that's the best we've ever been, the best race we've put together from start to finish. And I'm just glad we could, you know, kind of make up for what we lost at Kentucky, coming up one spot short there to the 18, and you know, finally putting a hurting on them this race. And it just makes it really special, man.
With Brett Holmes tonight, driver of the 23, winner of the Dawn 150 ARCA Menards Series race on Friday night at Kansas Speedway. Brett, got to say, this doesn't happen by accident, man. You guys have literally turned a corner, not just in this race, but this season. You guys have been, your performance level is way up. And I know, listening to the broadcast, I believe it was Phil said, you know, the little team that could, and he stopped referring to you guys as the little team, because now you are not only competing, but you're beating the guys at the top level of this sport, and now you are one of those guys at the top level of this sport. All that hard work's paying off.
Yeah, it's definitely something we take a lot of pride in, you know. I think regardless of how we do, we are still the smallest team, the little team. So, you know, I don't want to take anything away from us there. I think there's a lot more value in people than there are material things. And compared to some of what the these other guys and these other teams have compared to us, you know, is kind of unmatched. But, you know, we take a lot of pride, and I'm very, very thankful for the people that are on my team. I think the value that is really lies with them. And, you know, we've just kind of put all of our heads together, improved on every race, and really, really put some thought to how we can improve every week. And that's, you know, that's really what it's taken to get to where we're at now. But, you know, I don't want to stop here. You know, it's, you know, one win. I'm really glad, and how we did, and it being a really special deal. But, you know, there's a lot more I want to accomplish, and I think there's a lot more potential that we've got on this team.
Brett, obviously, with this pandemic and with everything going on, Victory Lane, this is your first big win in ARCA. You've been working so hard towards it. You get there, you finally cross the start-finish line. You know, you take your helmet off, and there's nobody there to celebrate with you. What's that like?
It's really weird, but, you know, I'll take them any way I can get them. And it's, you know, it's still really special to win those races, regardless of everything that's going on in the world right now. And I hate it. You know, it was definitely really weird not being able to celebrate with the team and Victory Lane, you know, like I feel like they deserved. And, you know, which I don't know. I don't understand too much that, you know, because we're on a flight home about a few inches away from each other. So I hate that we couldn't, you know, I don't really understand why we couldn't celebrate together, because we're together all the time anyway. So, it was a little different, you know, just not hearing all the woos and the celebrating and stuff, but, you know, it didn't take away from how special it was to me. And, you know, just, this is just a big deal for me and, where I'm from. And, you know, this doesn't happen to a lot of people where I'm from. So, you know, it's still really cool to be able to experience something like that and just, kind of be in the moment and, you know, be really blessed for what's going on.
Well, I'm surprised you couldn't hear my wife and I hooting and hollering for you all the way up here in Ontario when you crossed that start-finish line. I'll tell you what, we were excited. It was a great race, and seeing you go out there and do it, we've been following you along for a few years, and to see that first win come, now that question's answered. Nobody can ask you that one no more, Brett. When's that first win coming?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, that's honestly one of the biggest things I'm glad that we won for is, you know, we can stop talking about when it's going to happen and how long it's going to take and, you know, when is everything going to pay off, and, you know, we can finally start talking about just, you know, the normal stuff and, you know, the normal struggles a team goes through and getting more wins and possibly a championship. And, you know, it's that's where a lot of the relief part comes from. But, you know, we knew it was going to happen sooner or later. You know, like I said, it's been a long, tough road to get to where we're at, and just a lot of miles on the road, a lot of time away from family, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, I don't regret any minute of it. It's it was definitely all worth it.
We've had quite a few first time winners on RTR, from whether it be from ARCA or trucks or Xfinity, even big super late model stuff. But we've had quite a few first time winners, and I always get a kick out of the answer of this one, just simply because it's on a big cup style track. It's on Kansas Speedway. It's obviously live on TV. What did your phone do after you won? Who were some of the people who reached out to you?
Oh man, it was that was a really cool thing to see too. You know, I couldn't help but get, you know, shed a few tears after the race. You know, just looking at it and seeing all the people that had messaged me and contacted me about how proud they were of me, and you know, it was you know, just a lot, mainly family and friends, and some people I hadn't seen in a while, and some people I see every week, and people that have, you know, raced with me since the go-kart days back when I was 8 years old to the late model days. And, you know, it just brought back a lot of good memories and, you know, just made me even more thankful for everything we went through to get to that point. You know, I feel like all those people and all that support, you know, was really my rock to keep to keep going. You know, there was a couple years that we really struggled in the series and struggled to compete and do well. And, you know, a lot of those people kept pushing me and believed in me. And, you know, I definitely couldn't have done it without them.
Well, it was super to watch, I can tell you that. I got to ask you this. Practice this year, no practice, or have you guys been afforded any of it? And what do you think of having no practice if you don't get any?
Well, we got about 5 laps of practice on Friday, so that was it. And we led practice. We were first in practice also, so I knew I felt like that night was going to be our night. I felt like that even from earlier in the week. I just kind of had that feeling for some reason, and you know, that just kind of reassured myself that we were going to get it done that night. And I think we led practice by like 3 or 4 tenths. So but it was I knew we put a hurting on them then, and I knew it was going to be just even more in the race. So not having a lot of practice is, you know, kind of stressing that one side of it, but the other side of it is really nice. You know, we're not, honestly, as a team, we're not having to spend a lot and as much as we normally do. And, that's really helping on our end. And, you know, I think a lot of the times people practice too much and adjust themselves out of, you know, what they really had and actually, you know, start getting away from what they had. And so I kind of like the shortened practices and shortened race days. You know, I think, you know, unloading and racing is, a fun thing to do. It's what we used to do a lot in dirt racing. You know, you get 3 or 4 laps of practice and you go race. So, you know, something I'm not really that used to, but, you know, it's tough not getting a lot of practice, but I think we're doing just okay without it.
Yeah. And you are, you're doing tremendous without it. But, I believe it is Michael Self that's in the points lead right now, at least
by 9 points.
Yeah, but I know you're eating into that lead. Do you have your eye on the big prize? Are you going after the championship, or are you going to be selective in the races that you hit? What's the plan from here to the end?
Well, you know, it's definitely hard not to keep your eyes on it. It's something we've tried to do in the past. And even in the years we struggled to make a run for the championship, and you know, it would mean the world to me if we could pull something like that off with our team. And we're definitely capable of doing that. We've been out running most of those full time guys every week ever since the break we had from the pandemic. And I know we're capable of doing it. We just got to keep pulling off these consistent finishes. But you know, right now, I mean, with everything that's going on in the, you know, world, we can't really commit to a full season right now. You know, just sponsorship wise and financially, it's kind of tough to do. We're funding all this ourselves, and you know, it makes it really tough and really stressing when you're having to do that. And just like I said, everything going on right now is everything isn't really secure. And I think that's the, you know, answer for a lot of things too, is nothing's really planned right now. Everything's kind of a moving target. So you know, I hope, you know, something comes along and you know, a company or whoever would, you know, sponsor us, and I feel like we would represent them well and get them in victory lane again. You know, I'd work just as hard, you know, even if I had to rely on anybody else. So just hoping something turns up, and hoping we can make a run for it.
I'll tell you what, Brett, if the world is round, and I believe it still is, you're going to get a sponsor on that race car. That 23 car, you have earned it, my friend. You remind me a lot of a Grant Enfinger. That's the way, you know, Grant was running along, and really not having any big-time support, and then whammo. You know, his results were there, and the sponsorship came in. I got a sneaky suspicion that's going to be the same deal with you, my friend. You deserve it. And I'll tell you, any corporation that's out there listening to this, you want to get on a good race car on a televised situation, you want to talk to Brett Holmes. Guaranteed, you'll get the right representation. You do a dynamite job, my friend, and congratulations on this huge win.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. And, you know, that's something my dad always told me, too, is, you know, when you win, everything else takes care of itself. So we're going to keep continuing to do that and trying to get more checkered flags, not just this one. And we're definitely capable of doing that. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Also, yeah, we got to throw it out there, too. Shane was your crew chief, was a little bit of a first responder, I understand, in the tech line. There was a gentleman there on the Venturini team who had a little bit of trouble from the heat, and I know, you know, from talking to a few people that that Shane was the first one to jump right in there and make sure that gentleman was all right. So he went from a crew chief, a winning crew chief, to being a first responder, and that's pretty cool. It shows the type of team that you're surrounded by, a bunch of good people.
Well, I don't know if I'd want mouth to mouth for a guy like Shane, but you know, we're at the Arca Garage is full of a lot of people who have respect for each other. You know, we might gripe at each other a lot and race rough and say a lot of bad words to each other. But you know, when you know we're down, we pick each other up a lot and have a lot of respect for each other. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And like I said, we have a lot of value in the guys we've got, and they're all great people.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. When is your next race? You got to have another one circled and ready. When is going to be your next run?
So we're running about every week now until August. This next weekend, we run in Toledo, Ohio. We have a doubleheader there at Toledo Speedway on Friday night and Saturday night with the ARCA Series, and those will be your next two, and then we run Michigan Speedway next week.
So what do you say we keep your spot shined up right here, and we'll get you back on the show next weekend. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Right on, Brett. Congratulations on the win, my friend, and go get them.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You want to believe it? Driver of the 23 in that ARCA Menard Series, tough, tough series to win in. Junior, he did it.
He did.
He did it. Yep. He's not a bridesmaid no more.
It's really interesting that you drew the you know, the lineage between Grant Enfinger and him. Very similar background. Obviously, you know, both from Alabama. A similar, you know, path, trajectory to get to, you know, the ARCA Series level. As well, you know, when you look at the steps that Holmes has taken, really, he's been kind of in the same types of equipment that Grant was in,
yeah,
as well. Because
yeah.
Really, the 23 team that Grant Enfinger won the championship with, a lot of people, you know, would look back and remember this. Grant started the season when he won his first ARCA championship with the 09, which was a Ford team. He obviously went out there, lit the world on fire at Daytona with the Motor Honey car,
yep,
and did some really great things. And right around the third into the season mark, he ended up getting, you know, let go from the 09. The 23 team became open, which was the GMS team.
Yep.
They had equipment, they had cars, they had personnel, and they ended up hiring Grant Enfinger,
mm-hmm,
bringing him under that roof, and then racing Grant for the remainder of the year with the 23 car. That team that Brett drives for is obviously the number 23, but it was purchased, you know, from GMS. So
right.
Now, not to say that they're racing the same cars all the way across the board.
No.
There's been a lot changed. They were the steel body car back then. Now they're the composite body. So there's been a lot of different changes. And I know some of the cars that he has are now, you know, from the MDM era, you know, and a couple of new cars as well. But really, the lineage of that team, it was from the end of Grant Enfinger's ARCA tenure with GMS. So really, he's doing some great things. He's obviously been fast. He's worked on his restarts considerably. You know, there, it wasn't long ago where you know, Brett had speed but couldn't close the deal, whether it was a restart, whether it was those things. He has taken, you know, everything on the chin and went out there and made himself better. And he raced a flawless race.
Yeah.
This past weekend. And I think there's going to be a lot more of those to come. I know that, I think that he is correct. The sponsorship will come, right?
And then the
partnerships will come. It is about getting into victory lane. It is about getting, a brand and becoming visible in the sport. And those types of partnerships will come down the line. So looking forward to seeing what they can put together. How often, though, do you hear an ARCA competitor that goes out and wins and then doesn't have a clear picture on what the rest of the year holds?
Yeah. Yeah, well, isn't it the level in which they're racing, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
It really is. It's a tough, tough nut. Mm-hmm. It isn't a cheap series to run by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly.
It is it's an expensive series to run. And it's, to me, it provides some of the best racing you could possibly ask for. And the competitors are just like, they're Brett Holmes. They're dynamite. They're approachable, great guys. They go out and they're proving themselves. And, man, I'll tell you what, fans win when you got talent like that in behind the wheel and you get a chance to go witness it. Toledo will be a hot spot for fans to go see.
Absolutely.
It's going to be dynamite. We're going to hit a quick break. We'll be back. We got lots more coming at you.
Hi, this is Mike Farrell of the Southern Ontario Sprint, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We're back with you live from the Racetime Radio studio. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Maybe you're tuned in on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com. Hello to absolutely all of you. Or how about 98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia? Howdy. Or how about Gearhead Country Radio? Speaking of Gearhead Country Radio, gotta put it out to Jason McCoy, one of Canada's outstanding country music stars, went in and got his back fixed. And seen a little message from him on Facebook. He is feeling better. He is recovering. So good on you, Jay. And heal up fast. I know he's got some new road hammer stuff coming out. We want to hear it. Or maybe you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com on demand, or you can get it on iTunes. Just search iTunes Racetime Radio. Don't forget to hit like and subscribe, and you'll never miss Racetime Radio again. But you're here with us tonight. Junior, Thursday night. Let's rewind the clock a little bit. It was Cup race time on Thursday night. And it was Denny Hamlin going to victory lane. Him and Harvick were really warring it out at the end.
Yeah, they were. It was, it played out very similar to how the rest of the mile and a half races have been this year.
Yeah.
Big gaps, lots of space between each car. And obviously,
Other
than on restarts.
They're mental.
They're crazy. Restarts are the only time where you can make up any type of track position. And you know, we see that, on a regular basis on these mile and a halves. And it's so interesting to me because they have to go back and say it, that this mile and a half doesn't race like the rest of the mile and a half. But it does. They all do.
Yeah, by the end of it, I guess.
I mean, each one of the mile and a halves race the same. There's a bubble once the cars get going the same speed. And there's a bubble, and then there's 10 slow cars that are moving at a squirrel or at a snail's pace. And, it's interesting to me that it just continues to be the same way. But obviously, did Ryan Preece go into the fence hard.
Oh, my God. Glad to see he's all right.
Oh, man.
I didn't think he was going to step out of that car, Joe.
I didn't think he was going to either. That was a really bad hit, a bad angle. Talk to DJ Kennington after, I think it was Friday. Yeah, Friday afternoon. We were shooting the breeze on the phone and just talking about what was going through his mind when he was heading towards it. It probably felt like an hour driving straight towards that fence.
Oh, man.
Everything would have went, in slow-mo because, man, it was, just knowing that you're going to hit a ton. There's a few moments in the sport where you have that. You look at Ryan Newman's crash at Daytona earlier on in the year, right?
Right.
That all happened in the blink of an eye.
Right.
And really, Ryan Newman didn't really see everything coming. Didn't know what was happening.
Definitely it didn't was see Corey coming.
No, it was just a, it would have been just a blur, you know, because it was just kind of, how everything goes. But, I think back to, a guy, a really iconic moment to me that stands out is Kenny Schrader talking about his hit at Pocono when he was driving the 49 car.
Mm.
He knew he went in there with no brakes. He went into turn one with no brakes, and he knew that he was going to clobber the wall. He didn't know at what angle, when it was going to happen. He just knew, and he just said, "This is going to hurt."
Yep.
Right?
And
remember him talking about it on it was inside Winston Cup at the time, right? It was
on
TNN or Speed Channel, one of the two.
Look, he's getting old here.
No, I know, but you think back to that. You think back to a guy explaining that, and the same's true today about those types of big incidents. Ryan Preece, he was completely out of control. There was no way of saving the car.
And
he knew that he was going to clobber it, and that moment to see him get out of the car, and for him to be mad. Number two. And talking to the people in racing, that have driven the cars and stuff like that, it's really interesting that after a big wreck like that, you would think that he'd be kissing the ground.
Right.
But
thanking his lucky stars.
Exactly, because he clobbered it. But
well, he would have been doing that when he got into the ambulance on 100%. His way to the care center. You can guarantee
Once
it.
Once he's seen the replay, for sure.
My
but
God.
My Lord, that was, if you haven't seen it, you live under a rock, but definitely a monstrous crash at Kansas.
Same thing happened in the Xfinity Series with the number 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, another big hit. Looked like the same location, I believe it was.
Definitely.
Come off the turn, got tapped, and away goes.
Yeah.
Now, not maybe as dramatic.
And violent, yeah.
Or as violent as Ryan's wreck, but still the same. Bad, bad angle. And I want to say there was another one. I don't know whether it was in that ARCA race that I watched or one of the truck races. Can't remember, but it wasn't as big as Ryan Preece. That's for sure.
You got to work pretty hard to hit the wall as hard as Ryan Preece did.
Wow,
that was That was incredible. Yeah. Glad to see the guy walk away. But
no kidding.
But man, I can't wait for them to. I seen a really interesting and this goes back to, our rant last week, talking about mile and a halves and talking about the intermediate style races. There's a post on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and it was a video from Bristol in 2003, and it was one of the polls that Fox Sports did.
Right,
and during the broadcast of the 2003 Bristol race, it said, "Do fans want more short tracks?"
Yeah,
that was the poll.
That was.
Back then, 2003,
right?
It said yes, and it was by a staggering margin, 96%.
Wow, really?
96%.
Yeah,
said yes. We want more short tracks.
Well, if you're going to ask the question Bristol, it is a short track.
No, but they're not asking it on Bristol. It was for people to comment in. It was part of the singular deal, right?
Right.
And 96% of the people said yes. We want more short tracks.
Yeah.
And now it is, 2020, and there is one less short track that they go to than they did back then.
Yeah. It's two, actually, right? Wilkesboro, they don't go to
Well, they
to
didn't
anymore.
Go to Wilkesboro in 2003. That was... That
Rockingham?
Was, well, they went to Rockingham back then.
Right.
But they go to... Vegas instead of going to New Hampshire, which I don't even really class New Hampshire as a short track, but you can.
Yeah.
But I find that really interesting. Do you
yes.
not?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I think that people have been asking for this. And this leads me to the conversation that, everybody's having in the sport right now. Tony Stewart, Ray Evernham have got this SXR, right?
Yeah.
SXR. Series that they're putting together. It's going to be focused 100% on short tracks. Now, whether it be dirt, whether it be asphalt, what it may be. I'm sorry to say it, but man, Tony Stewart and those guys, as much as they say that they're not going after NASCAR, they have every position to be what Dana White is to boxing.
Right.
Through this deal.
Right.
What everybody is crying for at the top levels of our sport is short track racing. Get back to it. Get back to the short track.
Right.
Rooting and gouging. Talent takes over everything else style of racing. And that's what this entire thing is going to be built on.
Yeah.
So I am so excited to see what they can put together. Now, I know that it's being launched as an IROC series. I know that it's a bunch of celebrities, and it's a bunch of really good drivers that are going to be a part
right,
of this.
Right,
And really, it's not going after it and being marketed as, hey, we're going after NASCAR on this. But if they can put on action, if they can put on, what we all want as race fans, they're going to be in a very good place in a short amount of time, especially with the clout that they have at the board of directors table that is assembled, not just with Ray Evernham and Tony Stewart.
Well, I'd like to get either Tony on or Ray and ask him a bunch of questions about the new series. We should do that. We'll reach out and see if we can get either Ray Evernham or Tony Stewart to come on and tell us about the program.
From everything that I'm hearing is just so cool. I can't wait to see it. Obviously, it's cool even to see CBS back at the table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
CBS Sports has been out of racing for a long period of time. Now, CBS Sports has got the ISOC series in Snowcross, so they're not out of motorsports.
No.
Out of car sports for a long period of time. So I'm really excited, though, and we should definitely work on getting one of those two guys on the program over the next couple months.
Yes, we'll do that. Denny Hamlin, we did, and we still do, have a clip with Denny from the media center after the win on Thursday night. Denny, looking down the road a little bit here with the win. Here, have a listen.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Anytime we can go to a racetrack and win for the first time, and then when we go back, later in the season, pretty optimistic. So I love our chances, like I said, and I think that we got some good tracks ahead of us. We got some tracks that have been tough for me in my career ahead of us. So those are the ones I really want to perform well at and get better at. And if we can put ourselves in contention and win, you know, two or three more of these things before the playoff starts, we're going to be putting ourselves in a very good position for the stretch run. So, you know, I anytime we run track two times, I spend a lot of time really downloading and figuring out what I need to do to be better. And I still think there's a lot of work to be done with our team to make sure when we come back here, we are a little better, because I definitely think we were probably a third place car today.
You know, Denny, he hasn't got one of those championships yet, right? He's got what, three Daytona 500 wins. He's got a lot of wins.
Yeah, definitely.
But he hasn't done the big deal yet. And I know that's what he's focused in on this year, is to get the big deal done. And it's got to be tough. Yeah. It, especially now with no practice, no qualifying. You're working off of a draw, and there's no doubt that 11 car is being prepared. And this probably suits them better. It's more of an advantage for a team like that than it is for someone that is needing the practice and needing the track time. But I don't know. Do you think Denny can be the guy to win the championship in 2020?
Yes, I think I think he's the favorite for the championship.
Martin was the favorite forever, and he never did it either.
He was the fan favorite. I think, you know, Mark Martin had good runs and good opportunities at championships. Obviously for a tremendous amount of time.
Yeah. Never did it. That's going to be a tough one.
The way that Denny Hamlin, you know, has positioned himself with you know, the new crew chief, with the way that they call the race now, he's cleaned up his pit road. You know, you're not seeing the 11 team get nailed every single week you know, speed violations or you know, taking equipment out of the box or, you know, driving through too many boxes. He has cleaned that up considerably. And, you know, if they can continue to execute, they have to maintain to be a favorite to win the championship this year. Kyle Busch, on the other hand, is going to go into a hot streak. Yeah. We know it. He's going to crest. He's going to crest this, you know, bad luck that he's having.
Well, he finally got some stage points.
Exactly. And
got two wins. He, he was a back-to-back stage winner at Kansas.
But we know that Kyle Busch is going to go through he's going to go through a hot streak here. Where that hot streak comes depicts where Denny Hamlin wins, or if Denny Hamlin wins the championship. Because I think that, you know, the second the 18 starts winning, you know, that gets into Denny's head. And as well, you know, if the 18, you know, obviously makes it into the chase and goes into a hot streak at that point, look out, because I think that the 18 is going to be on a roll and go out and dominate this championship just the way that the structure is.
Where are they going next? New Hampshire, right? That's where I think the Cup Fox Series Woods. Is next.
Yep, the Fox Woods Casino 400.
Yeah, on August the 2nd will be their next race. It's going to be a barn burner. They love them out there on the East Coast. And it's always a good crowd. It's always a good race, too, New Hampshire. That was one that you were at, right?
Absolutely.
New Hampshire.
Yep.
Anyway, we are going to step out, take a quick break here on Race Time. Only going to be about 90 seconds, and then we're going to be back with you for hour two. And coming up in hour two, and right off the bat, we're going to get Darren Dryden. He won the Can-Am Midget Race. And we got Caden Lapcevich coming up in hour two. We'll also hear from both truck winners from Kansas over the weekend. As a matter of fact, you're going to hear from the top three on Saturday's race. We got still lots to come at you here tonight on Race Time. So don't go anywhere. You got enough time. Go grab something cool to drink. That sud is done. Grab a new one. And we'll rejoin you for hour two tonight on Race Time Radio. Stay right there. We will be right back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Drive Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, our number two begins tonight live on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in with us tonight. Let's get right back to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in a guy that went to Victory Lane just last night at the famed Flamborough Speedway. This, the driver of the number 12 in the Can-Am Midgets, did a masterful job by the sounds of it, speaking with Terry Watts today. And Terry said, "Woo, that car was hooked up, man. Away he went." Let's welcome in driver of the number 12. We have Darren Dryden with us. What's going on, Darren?
Hey, Joe, how's it going? Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, you want to believe it, man. It's our pleasure to host you tonight, my friend. Take us back to Flamborough Speedway. What was that like for you?
Yeah, we had our first event of the year and had all the Can-Am Midget drivers back on out. We had a good field and a lot of new faces, a lot of familiar faces. And as everyone was trying to do, they were trying to knock me off that top spot. Thankfully, I was able to hold on to it. Daniel Hahn gave me a lot of pressure, a lot of other guys. Miller, he was strong. Ran really well, though. We basically started fifth in the heat. Took the lead, actually, on the last lap. And then in the final, we actually started fourth and took the lead on the fifth lap for the 30-lap final and held on to it.
Ah, no yellows, no late yellows. Did you guys go clean and green?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we actually had quite a few yellows, probably I'd say six or seven. I was able to hold off. I had Daniel Hahn knocking on my door, but I was able to hold him off.
That's always tricky, right, in a Can-Am Midget. Now, I know you are a sprint car driver too, so that's really going to help you out. But in that Can-Am Midget, those restarts can be treacherous at times, especially the late ones because your tires are all heated up. And I know you guys drive the wheels off those cars, so there's no such thing as keeping the right sides cool to save something for the end.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of strategy. Like, we do have in-car adjustments, too, so we have a weight jacker. Well, you have the option. So in our case, we have a weight jacker and a fan iron bar. So a lot of the times, you know, I'll reach forward if I need to, whether we get a quick scuff in right before the session or not, that'll determine whether I need it, too. But there's a lot of thinking to do for sure. They're twitchy cars. They do take off pretty quick, and you got to know to trust the car in that first corner.
Does it lend itself well, Darren, running both the cars? Your Can-Am Midget, and then you jump into a sprint car. They're vastly different machines. But does the driving technique and the feel of it sort of lend itself to one another?
Yeah, honestly, I thought it was going to be difficult at first. You know, last year I was running one night, and then the next night I'd hop in the other car. But I find it actually helps me because knowing, you know, how to control a car on dirt and then transferring that to your ability on asphalt, it actually does relate to some extent and really driving your car on the edge. So I noticed that I've been driving the TQ a little bit more aggressively and been able to, you know, I wouldn't be scared to break it loose, for example, and I know how to, you know, correct it and trust a lot more. And, you know, you see it in the real world, too, with all the big guys in NASCAR. You see, you know, all the dirt guys really excelling. When they get loose coming out of the corner, they know how to catch it. I kind of relate to that, too, so I know how they feel.
The tire guys don't like that, though.
Yeah, for sure. You got that right.
Darren, you've positioned yourself, you know, it seems like just a couple years back that you were doing a few projects that were really cool that a lot of people took note of, but you positioned yourself as one of the creative guys in the sport now. All across Ontario, you see your work pop up. At various levels, whether it be on a race car or on a helmet, on a street car, you're doing some really cool things. Talk to us about some of the graphic projects that you've got coming down the pipe or that you've done. I know, just to, cover off, one of the cool things that I've seen is the helmet that you did for DJ Kennington, one of the coolest helmets that I've seen, but you do a lot of really neat projects, and it seems like just a couple years back that you were just doing Sharpie art.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it honestly began with, in grade 12, I Sharpied a hood of a car, and then I Sharpied my helmet, and I didn't really expect anything of it. I did about 15 helmets, then it led to painting them. It's probably done now. I think it's in the 60s. But then, that led to, okay, I want to kind of design my car and do all that. And I was kind of doing that throughout the helmet painting too, and beginning my business, DJD Graphics. And I kind of want to be that full stop shop for a race car driver. And usually the guys I actually compete with too, which is the pretty cool part. But, the big project for me was definitely, Kennington. I've done even his suits, which was really cool. I collabed with, K1, and they would be, create the suit, and we would, I would basically design it for him. And I've done his hero cards, and then on top of that, his helmets. The helmets were the great thing. Able to, see my helmet at Daytona. That was pretty cool. I was actually at Mossport, spotting for one of the teams, and when I was there, I was able to see, the helmet on display there too, on top of his truck, as he was filling in for someone that night, or that day. But no, there's a lot of opportunities out there for sure. I've kind of stepped back from the helmet painting as much as I love to do it. My focus is a little bit more, the vinyl wrapping side of things. And I've just kind of been expanding and kind of trying a bunch of things and, before I kind of settle into something. But I still do paint helmets. I've actually got, Daniel Bois and Robin Buck, which I'm sure you know both of them. I've got their helmets at my house right now, actually. So.
Ah, you got to work on the paying stuff, right? The bigger paying stuff. You got to put the taters on the table there, bud.
Yeah, we're all trying to race, and that's the thing too, right? We're a small team trying to fund it ourselves. So between me and my dad, and we even got Steve Perry on board too. He's been a lot of help throughout the whole thing, and all of our sponsors on board, making it happen. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. What happens with you now? The Can-Am Midget Race was like a one-off, right? Gave you guys some track time. But what do? Are you searching for a dirt race? Will the sprint car make an appearance here shortly? Is there any more plans with the Can-Am Midgets? What's the scoop?
Yeah, so we've completed two sprint car races in our new car, and then we have confirmed another race on the 16th at Humberstone. They invited us back, and then we're kind of dabbling on going to Brockville this weekend next weekend. That's, it's debatable still. We'd love to go. Track we haven't been to pretty far, but we're determined to get some seat time. And then for the Can-Am Midgets, we heard an opportunity that we might have another show in August. So stay tuned for that. We might be back out. But, yeah, as far as we know, it was kind of just a one-off deal for us to get out there. And all of us really appreciated it.
Well, I can tell you, I was pretty bummed that it wasn't on GeForce TV. I thought it was going to be on GeForce. I think I even put it out on Twitter. It's going to be a great weekend. We got trucks. We got ARCA. I think we're even going to see the Can-Am Midgets at Flamborough Speedway on GeForce. And then Clark Hartman, thank him. He posted right under my thing, Joe, they're not going to be at Flamborough. They're going to be at Humberstone. So it was good that there was a dirt race, but I was kind of hoping to watch the Can-Am Midgets on GeForce. So those guys do a great job.
Yeah, we actually almost had them filming us. It would have been if we didn't have the postponed date. I think basically we were going to run the week before, and they were going to film it and broadcast it for us. But then, we fell short basically from the reschedule, and they already had them booked up there. So, but yeah, no, a lot of people were looking forward to that. So I wish they were there too, and hopefully maybe for the next one.
There you go. There's always next time, right?
Exactly. You got that right.
You betcha. Well, that's cool. You got that first win of the year out of the way, so now you can just concentrate. Now, is there any chance that you can grab your sprint car and slide across the border? Because there's probably lots happening in the state of New York for your sprint car stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to. We can't, unfortunately. And, you know, there's not too much, you know, crate opportunity. So we run a crate sprint. If we had the 360, a little more opportunities. But again, you know, kind of we're a little bit stuck on this side. So we're kind of just waiting it out, seeing where things fall. We planned on doing full-time Oswegan, but they're on lockdown right now. And they're not, we don't really know if they're going to be opening or not for this season. So basically, we're just kind of, you know, going week by week, seeing what pops up, and every race that kind of does, we're not going to say no to. We're going to try and get out to every single one. So we're looking forward to next year. We're going to go into full swing this year, but obviously with the way things are, it's a little bit different.
Well, we can always keep our fingers crossed that the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals will happen, and then I know those crate sprint cars will be just torquing around there. The car count last year had gone up, but I know it's going to go right into outer space this time.
Yeah, I can't believe how many cars we get on a regular night. And basically our first night, we all had to register, and there's 28 cars that were allowed in. And I'm pretty sure it was 10 hours it took. That was it, just for everyone to fill up their spots. And then we had people sit just the next day that were, you know, sleeping on it and realized that, okay, we missed the cut line, right? So we got about, I'd say 40 to 50 crate sprints. And yeah, season points wise, there was about 40 something that, you know, competed last year. So it was pretty wild. There's a lot of cars.
It has been the success story of dirt in Ontario for sure. Yeah. By far, hands down, the crate program, you know, looking at, and really looking at it as a feeder. There's a lot of the guys who started out in crate sprints that are now moving on to, you know, whether it be 360 or whether it be moving over onto asphalt or moving, like, there's been a tremendous amount of feeder success from that division. Darren, obviously you have got the Can-Am Midget deal working real good. You know, you've spent lots of time in a vintage modified. You've now, as well, you've got the sprint car. You're turning lots of laps with different vehicles. What's next for you coming down the pipe as a driver? Are we going to see you in a late model? Are we going to see you in a 360 sprint? What's on your bucket list? What do you want to do in racing for over the next 5 years?
Yeah, honestly, you know, put it this way, 6 years ago, if you asked if I was going to be in a Can-Am Midget, I would probably have said no. And then 2 years ago, if you had asked if I'd be in a sprint car, I would have said no. So these opportunities just kind of came about. Basically, Mac the Man offered me opportunity for a Can-Am. Then we ended up on our own team. And then we were running for Jeff Dernan last year. He offered me a really good opportunity to try running dirt, which I didn't expect. And then we decided we loved it, and we were going to actually step back to do, you know, focus on my business. But then, you know, we got a little bit of a surprise where my dad and his buddy, Steve Gary, surprised me with a crate sprint that we were going to, dabble in this year. But we kind of fell in love with it. So we're kind of leaning towards going, you know, 360 route. We would love that. But, again, you know, we all got to rely on sponsorships here. So we're kind of going to, you know, wait it out, see where things fall into place. I would even, you know, love to try a late model, something I haven't done yet. I've been in a, you know, full-size vintage modified, no power steering. So that's the kind of, you know, the interesting thing, too. Everything I've driven doesn't have power steering other than one pro challenge race I did. That car had power steering. You know, obviously, you know, we have a little bit with our sprint car, but that's totally different ball game there. But yeah, back to what you're asking, I think my game plan would be to get into a 360 or, you know, see what potential there could be in a late model. But I think I think we're going to stick for dirt for now.
Absolutely. And just so everybody knows, while it wasn't on GeForce for the Can-Am Midget, for the race that we're talking about, it is uploaded currently on Pedal Power's YouTube page. I just got a note here on Facebook. But
Pedal Power does a dynamite job.
Pedal Power does a dynamite job.
Yes.
Go over to Pedal Power 51 on YouTube. That's Pedal Power, no spaces, and then the number 5 and the number 1. Just type that in, Can-Am Midgets 2020 from Flamborough, and all the features, all the racing, basically, from Flamborough last night is on Pedal Power. So, fans, if you're listening and you're bored on this Sunday night, when we're off the air, jump on YouTube and pull it up, because by all accounts, it sounds like it was an exciting race.
Yeah, Pedal Power does a phenomenal job. We've always known of them, but being there at Flamborough and even all the other tracks, you know, catching some of the moments, and always do a great job filming. So definitely check in on that. I know they did a great job filming and capturing what we did last night. So
good deal, Darren Dryden. This has been great catching up with you tonight. Can't wait to see you in that sprint car, too, out there with Ryan Hunsinger and Mac DeMann and all those guys. Such a great class. And hopefully the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals can happen out this weekend and get you guys on that. And I know I look forward to the next announcement for the Can-Am Midgets. I really look forward to it. I love watching you guys in that class as well. Sounds like I missed a good one last night, but we're fortunate enough to have you on here tonight to recap it. And we got to thank you for your time, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on here. And I really appreciate the opportunity, and we'll catch up soon for sure.
Hey, if we send you a mic flash, it would be pretty cool to see a Sharpie Art DJD mic flash with RTR on it. If we sent you one of those, we'll talk off the air. But I think we should work on that, because some of your art is pretty spectacular too. So that's just
a
surprise. But I think we should work on that.
Sounds good.
That'd be a hoot. Thanks so much, Darren. You have a good one, and go get both cars ready. You're gonna be in both. I know it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. We're ready to get back out there, that's for sure.
You want to believe it. That is Darren Dryden. He went to Victory Lane, Flamborough Speedway, and as Joe mentioned, you can catch it on Pedal Power. She does a great job, and you can bet your boots I'm going to be checking it out when we get off the air. That's going to be kind of a cool thing. I didn't see who won the Canadian Vintage Modified race. We'll have to check that out. Haven't seen much from John Carley here, and normally I get a note from John Carley with the Young Drivers of Canada, Canadian Vintage Modifieds. I did, however, see that it was Scott Steckley's son that won the mini stock race. We should have had him on tonight's program, hey, that's my fault. I just thought of him right now.
Absolutely.
And
him and Will Gibbons apparently put on a whale of a show in the mini stock division.
Well, that'll be on Pedal Power too.
Yeah, I heard lots of comments about how they raced each other and how exciting it was, the 10 car, the little CRX, and the 24, the little Mustang that Steckley's got. Man, I walked over with DJ and looked at Kyle Steckley's car.
Mm-hmm.
That little thing is a masterpiece.
I wouldn't doubt it.
It is a really cool race car.
Kyle,
I urge everybody to take a look at that. Absolutely. Steckley's always had, you know, obviously his NASCAR Pinty stuff is good, but everybody's NASCAR Pinty stuff is good. You know, when
right.
you walk over and you look at a Pinty's car, they all look spectacular. They're all, you know, manicured and meticulously built. And really the same thing can be said about like an APC car. And, you know, like a pro stock car, like a late model, right? When you look at mini stocks, it's kind of the gamut, right? You've got guys that are backyard mechanics. You've got guys that are wannabe backyard mechanics. And then you have guys that are like full-blown, you know, artisans with a welder.
Yeah.
And
they're making a career out of mini stock.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've seen some beautiful mini stock cars.
Yeah. And when you look at some of the, you know, pieces of art that are out on the racetrack right now. I urge everybody to go take a look at Kyle Steckley's car because, man, they did some wild stuff and not wild stuff, you know, that you know, I'm not saying wild stuff
looks
that
good.
Are outside. Exactly. That look good.
Attention to detail.
Attention to detail. And, yeah. And if you want to look at what a team looks at, you look at what those guys have done with a race car, and that's what it takes to be a winner. That's what it takes to run up front in every division, and definitely the hours probably couldn't even be quantified that have went into that thing just because it's so great. I always get a kick out of that when you look at you know somebody who is winning in. You know, Super Stock or Thunder Car, or you look at a guy who's winning in even the Saturday Night Late Model Tour. You look at the guy who's winning and the guy who finished dead last, and you compare the two cars. You can see the difference. It's not money. It's work.
Preparation.
It's preparation.
Yep.
Not all the time.
You used to get Andy Schmidt's number 32, the old Groundhog.
I love seeing that.
And that car. Looked like a wreck.
Exactly.
But Andy Schmidt, I'll guarantee you, that thing went like a jet.
Yeah, it went down the straightaway in a hurry.
Dan Wright was another one at Sauble Speedway.
Yeah.
The number one car, Dan Wright's car, was not pretty.
No.
But I'll tell you what, you couldn't beat it on the racetrack.
Funny story about Dan Wright's.
Make it quick, because we got to hit a break.
I worked as a tech assistant. I helped the tech guys. And I remember Ross Potter walking over to Dan Wright and made him knock in all the sharp edges that were on the right side and the left side of the car because there was guys complaining that he was cutting down his tires.
Like a can opener.
Yeah. And he made him get the file out and get a grinder out in the pit area. That's how much of a wreck this car was. But it always ended up in victory lane. Danny Wright's car was that number one in the Thunder Car division at Sauble Speedway. Was one of the coolest race cars, just beat to all living, it was fast.
And then you see a guy like Todd Davenport, right? Biff had come out with the 30 car,
shiny chrome wheels,
gorgeous, beautiful machine, and it went like a bullet.
Yeah. There was a clean car,
so
and there was
many
a messy
guys.
Car.
Okay, we're going to hit a break. Got to congratulate Kyle Steckley. Kyle, if you're tuned in, we will get you on this program. My fault, should have contacted you. I'll take the hit on that one. But we will get you on this show. Congratulations on the big win. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, Caden Lapcevich had the hardest hit of his career so far. It happened last night. He is okay. He is going to join us on this show. He was at South Bend, Indiana, running the 16 supercar. And we're going to talk to him not only about the big wreck, but we're also going to talk to him about his season because he has been burning it up down south. And it's been far too long since we had him on Racetime Radio. So you stay right where you're at. Go ahead, go grab another cold one. And we will be back with you live tonight on Racetime. Stay right there.
Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time. Oh, hey, I got to let you know, too, that was Ked bringing us back from the third break. But it's been Ked bringing us in and out of all the breaks tonight. We have got some new stuff coming out. Now, it's going to be a little while, and I shouldn't even say. No, I'm not going to say it. We got a new intro coming that Ked's band Wheelhouse is going to be part of. They're going to be a main part of it. They're actually going to produce it. And I'll tell you what, I'm really excited to get it. And it's going to give Racetime Radio a fresh sound. It's going to be pretty hot. I can guarantee you that. Let's just before we grab Caden Lapcevich, we're going to have Caden live here in a few moments. But I do want to talk about that NASCAR Xfinity race before we get Caden on here. Did you see any of it, Junior? Yeah. Did you watch the highlights, or did you watch the race?
No, I watched probably the last 75 laps of the Xfinity race. Brandon Jones tore it up.
Good day for Menards, right?
Great day for Menards. Really, like the entire weekend, think about it. Menards was in victory lane for every race other than the Cup race. Definitely a tough deal for Matt DiBenedetto with the Menards on the side of the car in the Cup Series.
Man.
But the finish of that Xfinity race was great. Did they put on a show at the end. I thought for sure that Ross Chastain was going to end up in victory lane when that second-to-last yellow came out. And just how Harrison Burton picked his way through.
Where did he come from?
Harrison Burton?
Yeah.
Or Brandon Jones? Brandon Jones was where did he come from? Harrison Burton was great. Was spectacular.
Okay, I caught the first half of the race.
It seemed like Cindric.
The 20 car wasn't there.
No, it seemed like Cindric had.
Cindric was the guy that was up there.
Cindric had a car that could go anywhere for 40 laps, and you know he had good fire off speed. He had everything, and Harrison Burton did not have fire off speed, but 50 laps into a run, that thing was lights out good. And, you know, just the way that it worked out, you know, there was a green flag set of stops and Harrison Burton chased down from 3 seconds back, chased down Cindric, put the pressure to him, poured the pressure to him and ended up taking the lead. And then obviously there was a late race yellow for the 08 car of Ray Black Jr. And it didn't work out right for neither Cindric or Burton because Brandon Jones was able to really just pull the wool over everybody's eyes and drive around the outside and take the victory. But a great finish for Brandon Jones and for the Menards camp.
Well, this is a quick, and I mean quick, clip with Brandon Jones. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, thanks. That was quite the finish for sure. I was not expecting to get a launch like that, but I just was continuing to switch things up and try stuff. And the last one was the one that needed to work, and it did. So it was good.
I told you it was quick, but he was real quick, and it was a great restart for him.
You know, we've seen Brandon Jones go to victory lane probably about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, good on him. And we thought that, hey, this is where he comes to life.
Yeah.
You know, he's had speed. He's had decent results, seconds and thirds and fourths and fifths. And, you know, he's tore some stuff up. But he went to victory lane and I thought, man, this is where the ball starts rolling for this kid. Because he's been circled with the best people in the sport. He's been on the best teams in the sport. And he hasn't really come into his own yet.
Right.
He went to victory lane earlier on in the year, and I thought, this is it. This is where we're going to see.
This is where he starts.
This is where it starts, and we're going to not stop hearing about this kid. And he went on a run that would make anybody else retire from the sport. He just wrecked stuff. And,
yeah, yeah.
And stuff fell off his car, and he had mechanical failure, and he made mistakes, and the team made mistakes. And it was a run that was just atrocious. And it was interesting because, you know, we've seen him strap into the Kyle Busch Motorsports 51 in the truck series, and it went out and dominated and won the race. And, you know, I think that, and I don't want to jinx the poor kid,
you can.
But I think that this is where we're going to hear a lot about him,
yeah.
You know, from here on out, because really he drove to the win, like on Saturday, drove to the win.
Yeah, he did.
And he earned it. And he didn't have the car that was supposed to win that day. And that, to me, when I see somebody win in a car that's not supposed to win, that is where you...
That's where the driver comes out.
And I think that you're going to see more from Brandon Jones from here on out.
Now, Alex Levy, our DGM number 90 yesterday, had a great run going. Yeah. He was up to 16th spot,
yeah.
ran out of gas
in that final little session, and terrible break for him.
How did the 92 finish off? I know like 20-some-odd, 24, something like that. Did you know he wasn't up in that front frame?
No, yeah. Not to me.
Watch. I'm telling you, Josh Williams is going to have a breakout. DGM is going to have a breakout race this year. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm telling you guys, it's going to happen. It's not me willing it. It's me watching the results, and they're going to have a breakout.
I think a breakout to them is a top 10, though, unfortunately.
Well, it's going
to
be.
Unfortunately, to me, a breakout for the DGM team is a top 10. And I like when they go
to... Put them on the Roval.
When they go to Daytona, you know, in July, they're going to be on the road course in July. And you know, we obviously seen them at Indy. Labbe did a great job there, you know, coming home in the top 10. And that is the type of breakout that DGM is going to have.
I wonder now that they're going to go to the Daytona road course, wonder if we're going to see Tagliani pop into a car there.
You can't.
Why?
He's in Canada.
Well, yeah, but he can go down there and quarantine for 14 days or something, right?
No,
There should be a way that he can get down there.
If you're a U.S. citizen, or if you're down there, you can...
Maybe he's got a dual citizenship. He ran IndyCar for how many years?
Yeah.
And he was down there all the time. He lived down in Indy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It would be kind of cool to see Tagliani show up in one of those cars down there. Because I'll tell you what, he would be kick-ass.
Yeah.
He really would. Watching him and Alex Labbe on the road course, I'm telling you what, there is a winning formula there.
Yeah.
It would be so awesome.
It would be.
Anyway, I can dream. Why not? let's hear now from Friday night's truck race winner. Austin Hill went to victory lane in the 16 truck. Here he is.
You know, those last 20 laps, they felt like the longest race of my life just because you're thinking of what's going to happen next. You know, when is that caution going to come out? And how late is the caution going to come out? And, you know, what kind of a restart are we going to get? And all those things just started going through my head. And did I save enough tires? And just a lot of things that just were kind of going through my head. I knew we had a really good truck all night, but I just didn't know how much tire I had to save if we did have a late race restart. And, you know, like I said, I'm so glad that it just stayed green. It made my life a lot easier just being able to finish it off.
Yeah, he did a great job in that 16 truck. Love watching Austin Hill in that 16. Every time he straps in, to me, he's a threat every time he gets in that truck to win the race. It was kind of nice to see him get his first win of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's one of those guys that you're going to see a lot more of as the season goes on, because we've seen him get results this year. He's been good. He just hasn't been that level of good that it takes to, you know, click off a few finishes. If he can run the rest of the year like he did, you know, in the first truck race, then you're going to see a lot more of him.
Now, doubleheader weekend for the Gander Truck Series. And Saturday night rolls in, or Saturday afternoon, I should say. It wasn't a night race. It was a day race. And the last time the Gander Trucks ran at Kansas in the daytime, it was quite a few years ago, and it was Matt Crafton that won that day. come this Saturday. Boom. Beautiful day at Kansas. It's going to be a day race. Race fires off at 1 o'clock. And Matt Crafton goes back to victory lane, ends a three-year drought. I had no idea it was 3 years since the last time the 88 Menards Ford for Thor Sport went to victory lane. Did that shock you?
As much as it shocked me,
did it shock you?
Now, it's not the last time it was in victory lane.
Yes.
Because he stood in victory lane for winning the championship.
No.
For race win, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But he won the championship, you know?
He did.
And so,
all the swirling things around that, right?
Yeah.
You win the championship without winning a race. How does that happen?
Exactly.
You got to be Mr. Consistency. Well, Matt Crafton Saturday went out there. And I'll tell you what, I was super nervous. I watched every single lap of that race. And I watched Matt pick his way, and he was coming, and he was there, and he got up to second, and then he went back to third. And then he would get up to the lead, and he only had the lead for a little bit, and then Sheldon Creed took the lead. And then Eckes took the lead. He had a great truck. And then Matt Crafton got back out there, and I was having fits. I really wanted to see Matt Crafton do well in a race. And sure enough, at the end of the race, it was clicking down. Eckes was eating into his lead, and I thought, that 18 truck is going to get him.
Yeah,
it really looked like he was going to get. And then Matt Crafton was not going to be denied the trip to victory lane this time. He just did a masterful job behind the wheel. Eckes didn't have anything for him on that last lap, but I'll tell you what, if it was another, I don't know, five or six laps maybe, could have been a different end to that story. Matt Crafton, though, did a tremendous job winning the race. Eckes did as equal of a job trying to win the race. It was a great finish.
Yeah, for sure. Eckes is a talented young man, and you're going to hear a lot about him winning some races here over the short amount of time. A guy that stands out to me in that same camp, Raphael Lessard.
Yeah. He's not getting the results that he is due.
He's not.
No.
And, man, you got to feel for him because he's the weight of the world is definitely on your shoulders. When you drive a KBM truck, he's not getting the results, so he's not getting the top fives. He's not getting the wins that you need to be to be up there. So, you know, we gotta pull for Raphael.
Sure we do. Here is a quick clip with Matt Crafton, winner of Saturday's truck race.
It feels like monkeys off my back of a gorilla with all that weight we've been carrying around. And everybody, that's all they all want to talk about is we have won in 3 years and how many races have ever been. Just keep your head down, just keep focused and not worry about that and keep doing what you're doing. It's all about these guys. I mean, these guys haven't let it bother them. At least they play it off. It hasn't bothered them. But I can't be happy enough for every one of these guys. I mean, Duke and Ronda Thorse and Menards, everybody that always believes in us. I know we won the championship last year and won it without winning a race. But at the end of the day, all the naysayers, I still have that trophy in my living room. And but we started picking up that speed that we have this year at the end of last year, and it all paid off when we went to Homestead. But a lot of hard work by these guys.
Let me say one other thing about Matt Crafton in the 88. Junior Joyner and that crew did a phenomenal job prepping that truck. Obviously, he won the race. But you mentioned earlier that a car didn't have the fire-off speed. Matt Crafton was just like that on a restart. That 88 truck did not have the fire-off that everybody else did. I think it was the second-to-last restart. Can't remember who was behind Matt, but he was saying, I need a push, I need a push on the restart. He did get a little bit of a push, and out he went. But it was Sheldon Creed that was behind him that gave him a shove. He needed a little bit of a shove to get that thing going, but when it got up to full song, that 88 truck was a wicked fast truck. Here is a quick clip with Christian Eckes that finished the race up second.
Yeah, I won't sugarcoat it. We were absolutely terrible yesterday. 13th is not representative of how good this team is or how good I am. So we talked a lot about it last night. Rudy made some really good changes. We started okay today. We weren't perfect yet in that last run. Actually, after that pit stop, we got pretty good. It just got a little bit tight, which is opposite of what we were fighting all day. So it definitely feels good. Obviously, I wish we could have won there, and I got a little bit of work to do to get through traffic. struggled the same thing last week. So got a little bit of work to do, but at the same time, really proud of my team to rebound like the way we did.
Okay, final clip of the trucks. Got to hear from Mr. Consistency over the weekend. Two third-place finishes for the 98 champion Ford for Thor Sport. Just a great job by Grant Enfinger. Here is what Grant had to say.
Yeah, we definitely had a roller coaster the last couple of years here, but for sure, happy for Crafton and Joyner and those guys. They've been running good the last month, and to see him get one is good. I was hoping the 18 and Crafton were going to get side-by-side for a couple of laps. It would have maybe given us an opportunity to sneak up there and steal one. But I feel like we had a third-place Farm Pain F-150 there at the end. But very similar days for us. Struggled at the beginning in, 12, 15 in the dirty air around some of the crazies, I guess, so to speak. And just kind of stalled out and struggled there. And, man, our pit crew did great both days for us and able to get a few spots on pit road and able to make some good restarts there at the end and able to at least contend for it. So happy with all the adjustments Jeff Hensley and all the guys made. And, man, it's not – we didn't get a single stage point. I feel like we can't get any stage points this year. But overall, a solid finish for us.
Got to love the Gander Truck Series. Best racing, if you ask me, this guy, I love the trucks. Best racing of the weekend. They did it again this weekend, doubleheader. Congratulations to all those guys. Oh, Stu Friesen on Friday night show ended up with the top five finish. He ended up fourth. So good run there. Didn't go so well on Saturday. Got involved in a wreck and was out of the race. So Stewie's got to turn that corner. Looks like the truck is starting to pick up speed. Watch for Stu Friesen. He's going to get a W before the season's out. You can guarantee it. Final break of the night. Caden Lapcevich on the other side. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Todd Lewis. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Woo! Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Ah, there we go. We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. Now, our next guest was at South Bend, Indiana last night. He took the hardest hit of his career so far. He is okay, and we are so glad to hear that he is all right. Let's welcome in Caden Lapcevich. He's with us tonight live. What's going on there, Caden? How you doing?
I'm good. You guys?
Doing fine, man. I'll tell you what, scary this morning when I was looking on Facebook and I seen those photos you had uploaded. Not really of the car. I wasn't too concerned with that. But when I seen the picture of your helmet, I got real scared. I'm glad to hear you're okay.
Yeah, thank you. I don't really know what happened, to be honest. It was just they checked up in front of me, and I was flying through the air into the wall. It's part of the racing we do down here. You know, they run no mirrors, no spotters, and, you know, it's challenging. It's a new learning experience, but it's something I got to learn, I guess.
Now, there is a video of that particular accident. I do believe it's of the particular accident. And, Caden, just like a lot of times, at least when I've seen some races where guys actually get hurt, it doesn't look like that big of a wreck. And then you see other ones, like we've seen, you know, like Ryan Preece on the weekend. He clobbered the fence, put all four wheels in the air, and he steps out of the race car and kind of mad that he bent it up. But sometimes it doesn't, the look doesn't match the wreck. I don't know whether the clip I seen was verbatim of the wreck, but I do believe it was. It from a distance, it didn't look like you hit that hard, but obviously you did.
Yeah, when I saved the video that I got sent to me into my phone, and I slowed it down, it looks a whole lot worse than when you just watch the wreck in full speed on Facebook, I guess to say. You know, it was a really hard hit, and I don't know if I've ever, you know, hit that hard. It just, I don't know, I wasn't sore immediately after the wreck. I got out under my own power, and I think it was adrenaline that got me. I was so, I don't know if it was the type of race I were in, because it was my car owner's father memorial. I really wanted to win it for him, but I think just the adrenaline really got me irritated, and, you know, I got out really mad, and, you know, but, you know, it wasn't 10 minutes later, I was sitting back in the pit talking to my dad, and, you know, I had a headache, I had my knee hurt, like, it all hit me at once, but, you know, the initial hit isn't what really hurts, it's what, you know, comes later that, you know, really gets to you.
Caden, the images that you posted, obviously, you know, you posted about the actual wreck itself and that you were good, but you posted two images of your helmet, and you posted the little clip of the video of the actual incident itself. Your helmet looks extremely beat up. What do you know? Obviously, you don't know during the time, but can you tell what actually happened to your helmet or what got into it? You know, that's definitely something to be looked at. And to follow that up, is there anything safety-wise that you think needs to be implemented or, you know, is there anything on the car that needs to be changed moving forward so that this doesn't happen again?
You know, I'm really grateful that Bobby Blunt and Junior Hanley built me a really safe race car, because, you know, if the car was made with the wrong size tubing or whatnot, it could have folded up and folded over top. And I hit really hard. It was something I'd never experienced before. But, you know, the helmet I deal is when a guy, he was trying to miss the wreck, got loose. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at the car today, and I watched the video. I've watched the video a hundred times out of the end. You know, I couldn't figure out what it was, and then, you know, I looked at it real close. I saved it. I put it in my phone, went into slow-mo, and it looked like the guy's spoiler hit me. So I went out in the shop this morning. I measured the height of the spoiler. I measured the height of where the window net would be, where my helmet would be. And it looked like a guy spinning out, and his spoiler sort of, the back of the car sort of climbed up on top of me, and his spoiler caught the window net. Ripped that out. The window net ended up down in turn one, and I couldn't believe it. And, you know, for the helmet, I'm still sort of shocked on that. I don't know if his spoiler hit the helmet and cracked it, or I just hit so hard it launched me out of my belt, and you know, I maybe bounced off the roll bar. But I'm just grateful that, you know, I don't have any serious injuries. I really thank Bob Blunt and Junior Hanley for building me the absolute safest race car they could. They did it right. They did it proper, and I can't thank them enough.
I did the exact same thing you did. After seeing the helmet, I watched the video numerous times, and like I went slow with my, you know, my finger over the little button that you know that you can drag and drop. And you know, I kind of slowed it down, and I could not figure for the life of me what happened. But that makes so much sense now that you're saying it. You know, when you do look at it, it looks like a white and red car kind of sideways right up against your door for just a split second. And that would make sense where that is. And definitely, you know, echoed from us that, you know, we're thankful that you're okay, number one. But it would be very interesting to take a look at, you know, perhaps implementing something to stop that from transpiring in the future. But looking down the road, obviously, you guys have had a pretty ambitious little schedule down there. You've got a chance to turn some laps. What is coming down the pipe for you? Like, do you have any other races planned? Are you looking at any of the pro late model style races? Cause I know that in the Blount shop, you guys had a bright blue, number 16 as well. That, was a really good pro late model. Do you have anything coming down the pipe on that front?
Yeah, that pro late model now has actually been turned into a super late model. In the off season, Bob purchased a super motor. We actually just finished putting it in. We tested last Monday with it at Wisconsin International, getting ready for the Dixieland 250. So that's next on our list.
Nice.
On August 4th, I want to say it is. But before that, I got to get a new helmet, obviously. But that's the next plan. And then after that, it was the Summer Sizzler on August 6th, which is a Thursday with the Alawa. But right now we're up in the air to see whether that's going to happen. Whether we have enough time to get the Outlaw fixed or, you know, just you know, if we have enough time to do it all and do it right and make sure it's proper.
Yeah, you got to turn it around, and there's lots to do there. Looking back from the beginning of the season, you've had good success. Any standout moments for you, Caden, since the beginning of the year?
You know, we ran the Outlaw twice. We've raced it at Springport Speedway in Michigan, and once at South Bend before this, actually, in the Gambler race that they have. And we ran second in the Gambler. We really struggled all day with that car, and I think we kind of hit on something come race time. The car just came to us. I don't know whether it was the track temp or what happened, but the car came to us. We ran second with it, and we tested with the Outlaw again before Father's Memorial race here on Saturday, and we're real confident with the car, and it's racing things that happen. You can't control them, but you know, I think if that race would have gone, you know, if we would have stayed in the race the whole way, I think we had a really good shot to win that race.
Any chance at all we're going to see you in any of the Canadian races that are coming up? I know APC is going to make an appearance at Sauble Speedway, at Flamborough Speedway, and at UCASA is what's on the schedule right now. Any chance we're going to see you on this side of the border, or you got to stay down there?
Well, I'm not really sure. You know, they announced the 150 lap race at UCASA there. We're kind of waiting to see how the races pay out, because it costs us a lot to make the travel fees, and you know, Bob can't get across, so I'd have to do it myself and find some crew guys. But it'd be tough. I'd like to, but you know, actually, in the upcoming weeks after August 6th here, I plan to move down to North Carolina. I've been offered a job at Rowdy Manufacturing, so I'm really looking forward to that, and you know, I'm excited to see what the future brings.
Ah, that you'd fit that like a glove, kiddo. But you got to be behind the wheel too. You got to do both.
Yeah, you know, Cody Glick at Rowdy is giving me a good opportunity. He offered me a job and also said, you know, if I ever want to go racing, he said, don't hesitate to ask. You know, I'll let you go whenever, because he truly believes in me. He thinks I'm a good driver, and he thinks I have a real opportunity. So, you know, I'm excited. I think the opportunity he's given me alone to work with him and work alongside all the guys at Rowdy, I can learn a lot. There's a lot for me to learn, and, you know, also giving me the opportunity to go drive and race whenever I can. It's just, I'm blessed for the opportunity that I have.
Well, buddy, you've earned it all the way, and you know you got supporters up here in Canada that hit Racetime Radio every time we turn the mic on. You are one of those outstanding talents that we've got that's Canadian, and you're going to do well in whatever you get into. I'm really glad to hear that you're okay after a scary incident. You can take that page now and say, put that in your book and say, okay, I've done that. I don't need to do that no more, and let's go win some races.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's the plan. You know, we tested at WIR for the Dixieland 250 on Monday, and, you know, I feel really confident with our car there. We didn't have the raw pace, but we had really, really good long run pace. So I'm excited to see what comes, and you know, we got a couple races coming up here. You know, if we can hit the Summer Silver at New Paris and the Outlaw too, I think we'll have a real good shot there too. So, you know, we'll see. There's a lot going on around here, more than what I expected, to be honest. But, you know, we try and hit as much racing as we can, and, you know, I'm excited to see what comes. It'll be fun, and I don't know. I hope we have good results.
Yeah, you will. I can guarantee it, kiddo. You're one of those drivers that you buckle down, you go after it, and there is no quit in you. I know that for sure, Caden Lapcevich. You're dynamite to watch, and congratulations on the stuff that's coming down the road. I know we will keep our eye on you, and I know everybody else will be too. Just be safe, get out there, and I know you've always got a spot here on Racetime, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
You betcha. Caden, have a good one.
Thank you. You as well.
You bet. Caden Lapcevich. Good to hear he's okay, Junior. He's one of those guys. He's a competitive guy. You know what you're going to get when you roll in the gate. And you paid your money at that front gate, and Caden Lapcevich is in the show. Add him to the other guys. Look out.
Yeah, definitely. He's, you know, when you look at it, he's got such a bright future. He's still so young, you know.
He is.
He's went out there and won a NASCAR Pinty Series championship. He's went out there and you know, ran very well in basically every type of race car that he's gotten into. You know, I think back, it's not that long ago that he was racing at Sunset Speedway, you know.
No.
Now his brother as well, you know, has got an opportunity of a lifetime. Seeing Trayton Lapcevich and the stuff that he's got coming together, it's interesting. You know, you look at these guys racing down south of the border right now. They've got way more COVID cases in the United States than Canada has, and we're sitting on the sidelines still, but they're all out there racing. It's tough for everybody, you know, hearing about guys and people out there turning laps, but it's going to come, you know, quicker than we can even imagine how fast, you know, to the beginning of our actual race season. I know it's coming. It's right around the corner, and I want to see racing on this side of the border soon.
Well, fingers crossed. We all got to be safe, and then we can go race. But that's going to do it for Junior and I tonight here in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio, hooking us up with all of our guests tonight. It was a lot of fun. Sure hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you tell your friends to tune in to Racetime Radio each and every Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio and all of our affiliates. We got to thank everybody. Have a good one. Be safe. And we'll catch you next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.